Okay, we're beginning our discussions today, technically on Parshat Truma, but what we're really going to do is for this Parsha, is actually talk about Truma and Tetzaveh together. And even more than talking about Truma and Tetzaveh together, we're going to talk about the kind of shift into the final phase, the final stage of Sefer Shmot as a whole, as one greater inyan, and we'll be breaking down certain aspects of it today, and it's really going to be one continuous train of thought from now until basically the end, where we'll sort of pull out certain pieces in the middle. Some shiurim will be more overarching, some will be more detail-oriented. This is certainly going to be one of the more overarching shiurim, but I'm glad to see that the room is fuller, because this is really going to lay the groundwork for where we're headed for the rest of the semester, short as that may be. At this point, Sefer Shmot clearly seems to be moving into a whole new stage. Right, what did we finish off with last time? What did we clarify Parshat Mishpatim is last time?
Pratim.
Take it one stage back earlier in that shiur. The conclusion of Kabbalat HaTorah. Right, and the second half of that being that it's the Pratim stage of Kabbalat HaTorah, 100%. But it's the conclusion of Kabbalat HaTorah. And we see from the very beginning of Sefer Shmot that it seems to be that that was the goal of Sefer Shmot. If you go back, way back to Parshat Shmot, the first Parshat on Sefer Shmot, take a look in Perek Gimel Pasuk, Yud Aleph Yud Bet, this is just to emphasize the point, that at the very beginning of Yitziat Mitzrayim, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told that the burning bush to go out, that he's going to be the person who's going to be the Redeemer, to begin the process of the Yitziah, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, 3:11, Vayomer Moshe el ha'elokim, mi anochi ki elech v'olmai lego, v'chulei yudbet, vayomer ki yeh imcha, v'zelecha, oh, this will be the sign, ki anochi shelachticha, that I've sent you, bo'tziachat am Mitzrayim, when you take the people out of Egypt, and ta'avdunet ha'elokim al har hazeh. What does the end of the pasuk mean? What mountain is that referring to? Har Sinai. Meaning that the conclusion of the goal of, the purpose of Yitziat Mitzrayim is to get us to where? Har Sinai and Kabbalat HaTorah. Those two things are going to be intrinsically linked. And if one were to simply look at this pasuk, or psukim like this, of which there are quite a few, then one could say that Sefer Shmot, as Yitziat Mitzrayim, should be taking us from the moment we come to Egypt, we begin as a nation in Egypt, we move from Se'avot Siman L'Banim, we begin the Banim stage that we talked about extensively in Parshat Shmot, take us all the way through the Yitziah, get us to Matan Torah. We have to include Mishpatim, as we said before, because Mishpatim is the end of Kabbalat HaTorah, and that should be the end of the Sefer. And I don't think anybody would have asked a question had it been the end of the Sefer. Would you have been like, where's the Mishkan? No, it's a very strong conclusion to the Sefer. We have Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we become a nation in order to receive the Torah, to have the Torah. Yeah?
Can I answer it or actually?
I'm going to take us a little bit forward because we haven't even started yet. So let's get a little bit more forward before we start going back and forth. And in fact, the Ramban that we started with, and again, this question shouldn't be a new question. We've touched upon answers to this question and the significance of this question along the way as we've gone through Sefer Shmot. But the Ramban himself asked the question in his opening to Sefer Shmot, which we've seen inside, we've talked about, where he says, it should have stopped there. Why go in and go through the process of having the Mishkan? The two should have been two separate Sfarim. Had there been Shishei Torah, right? And we would have had a whole Sefer dedicated singularly to the Mishkan. We wouldn't have questioned that. It could have been its own thing. It's such a large chunk, large enough chunk, and so unique in its identity, seemingly, that it could have been its own thing. Sefer Vayikra is its own entity. It doesn't have necessarily a clear... It has a clear narrative, but not a narrative in terms of like what's happening. Like in Bereishit, we get from creation to the end of the Avot. In Shmot, we get through Yitziat Mitzrayim, and then what's this Mishkan happening? In Devarim, we get from when we leave Har Sinai all the way through until we get to Eretz Yisrael, until we get to the border of Eretz Yisrael. But Vayikra also has its own. It's got a narrative, and we'll talk about that. That's going to be all of next semester, and it's amazing. And it's a lot to talk about there, really, really fundamental things that are lost in the way that Vayikra is often taught. But But it doesn't have that narrative of a storyline. So make the Mishkan its own sefer. So the Ramban there says, no, this is the it has to be. This is the end of Sefer Shmot, and it has to be so. It has to be so. So let's take a look at some explanations, some understandings as to why these three are linked together. In what ways are they very clearly parallel? And touch upon, we'll mention some of the answers that we've already said in previous shirim, just to make sure that they're all in one place. Even though we've discussed some of these inyanim before already. If we were to actually break up Sefer Shmot into three topics, what three parts could you break up Sefer Shmot into? There are three really broad strokes that I think are relatively clear. Yeah?
Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah, Torah, and Mishkan.
Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalat HaTorah, and?
Mishkan.
And the Mishkan. It's a simple and fair division of, we've linked together, even in that pasuk, the Yitzias Mitzrayim is clearly linked to Kabbalat HaTorah, but also as independent entities. We talked about how, Yitzias Mitzrayim takes you all the way through and concludes with Shirat Hayam and concludes in Parshat B'Shalach, and then Yitro and Mishpatim are the two halves of Kabbalat HaTorah. Now we have the rest of Sefer Shmot, which is dealing with the Mishkan. Now, and this is already reaching back to things that we actually have talked about before in other Shirim, so let's try to bring it in and bring it together in a bit of a different light. This system of three, what system of three does it very beautifully mirror that we have in Judaism? What triple structure does it bring to mind? Sammy?
Tefillah.
How so? How so? Good. Okay, so all of the threes are going to have to be linked in, and that's like 10 steps ahead of you to really draw all the threes together, but it's there. Much more simply, because we have a lot of pieces in between in order to get there for we to go in that direction.
Shlosh Regalim.
The three holidays, the three primary Doraita holidays, very simply reflected here. Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be, let's just make this shorter so we can keep the chart here. Kabbalat. Okay. So we have here, then, Yitzias Mitzrayim is what?
Pesach.
We have Pesach. Kabbalat HaTorah is going to be?
Shavuot.
And then Mishkan is going to be?
Sukkot.
And we've talked about this before. We talked about this in the Emuna Shir, where we really went through the whole structure of Sefer Shmot. We've already kind of answered that question at the beginning of Parshat B'Shalach. But Yitzias Mitzrayim is obviously Pesach, Kabbalat HaTorah, you receive the Torah on Shavuot, and we've talked about, even just on a basic level, whether you listen to the Shir or not, whether you're here for that Shir or not, that what a Sukkah is a place that's built to experience living in a reality of Hashrat HaShchinah. A Sukkah and the Mishkan are going to have parallels, even on the simplest of levels. Based on this, it's not surprising that the Sefer that actually introduces the Shalosh Regalim as a Shalosh Regalim process is Sefer Shmot. There are three times in the Torah, and only three times in the Torah, where the Shalosh Regalim are discussed and dealt with singularly as the Shalosh Regalim. Anybody familiar with where those are in the Torah? We did them, correct. We did them in the shiur on Sukkot, Shmiyat Teret Sukkot. So reach back in your mind or your notes, either one. Good, so Emor is the one that it's not, but that's important to be brought up. That's the one that people are most familiar with because we read it on every Chag. All of the Gimel Regalim exist in Parshat Emor, but what else is in Parshat Emor? Everything else also. Meaning it's not a structure of Shalosh Regalim as Shalosh Regalim. That's actually the exception. That's the one that we're not counting in there because it's not relating to them as a system of three. It was that was inevitable. That was great. So we've taken that out of the picture. What do we have left? Where are the other three times? Mishpatim is the first one. If you want to take a look inside, it's in Perekav Gimel Pasuk Yudalid. Shalosh Regalim Tachog Li Bashana. Right? Very, very straightforward, very simple. Pasuk Yud Zayin there. Shalosh Pemim Bashana Yere'eh Kol Zichorchat Panei Adon Hashem. Going through there, the Shalosh Regalim. That's the first one.
So the first one is in Parshat Mishpatim. Where's the second one?
Anybody know?
Kitisa. In Parshat Kitisa, if you take a look in Perek Lamed Dalid, it starts in Pasuk Yirchet, the Pasuk that emphasizes this is Pasuk Chaf Gimel, 34:23, Lamed Dalid Chaf Gimel. Shalosh pa'amim bashana yira'e kol zichurachak b'nei ha'adon Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And over there it goes through again all of the shalosh regalim. Parentheses. One pre-cheta egel. One post-cheta egel. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. Hopefully. Depending on how the rest of the session plays out. But those two times are the two times it appears in Sefer Shemot. Shalosh regalim as shalosh regalim. Now it also appears one more time, true. Quantitatively less, only once, in Sefer Devarim, in Parshat Re'eh, in Perek Tet Vav over there. But the primary Sefer that's going to deal with the Shalosh Regalim is Sefer Shemot. Which makes sense. Because if the annual year, meaning the annual year of existence that we go through every single year, goes through these three stages. They go through Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. So the Sefer that gives birth to the actual events that are the basis for these three holidays is also going to be the book to introduce and emphasize the holidays and the system itself. Since we have Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Kabbalat Torah, and the Mishkan in Sefer Shemot, it therefore makes sense that it's going to emphasize the very holidays themselves which they produce. Does that make sense? The historical events are in the Sefer. The roots of the holidays are in the Sefer. The Sefer produces the system of these holidays. It doesn't go deeper than that, yeah.
Wait, but what about the one in Devarim? Say it again.
When we get to Re'eh in spring 2017, we'll talk about it. One thing at a time. And that's a whole... Sefer Devarim is a whole different thing. Tov. As long as we're going through, just to put more things on the board here and more food for thought. What's the prototype of going up to the Beit HaMikdash three times a year? What in the prototype Sefer of Chumash shows us the need to go up three times a year? To Beit HaMikdash.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Say it in...
Sefer Bereshit is the prototype Sefer. Where do we see the seeds for all of this planted? The idea of going up three times. Shalosh bim mashal yara'e kol zichorchat b'nei Hashem. The three times of the need to go to Makom HaMikdash. Where do we see the seeds for that already planted in the Sefer that's the prototype Sefer of Sefer Bereshit? There's only one primary system of three in Bereshit, and it's soup. Thank you. So I was hoping people here last year were going
to
pick up on that.
You're trying to connect it to the three chagim.
Well, and one should. So first, let's put it on the board. And in fact, I believe the Torah brings it down, but it's brought down in many sources that each one of the holidays is actually linked to one of the avot because of this. When does Avraham Avinu go to Beit Makom HaMikdash? Akedat Yitzchak.
This goes back to what Sammy was saying.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking.
In terms of what?
Feel like.
And I said, Sammy is 100% correct, but we've nowhere there yet. I said 100% correct. The next one is?
Yeah.
What?
Yitzchak.
Well done, Yitzchak. That's right, I'm Yitzchak. You see everybody. Yitzchak. Where does Yitzchak go to Makom HaMikdash? It's actually only hinted to in the Psukim. It's not overt where he goes to Makom HaMikdash. So he's not identified as the one to associate with Akedat Yitzchak, even though he was obviously there. That's really Abraham's story. So when it says by Yitzchak, and this causes a lot of problems also in other areas that we probably are not going to have time to get into. When it says he's Vasuach Basadeh, at the end of Parshat Chayisara, that's assumed that he's coming back from Makom HaMikdash. Vasuach Basadeh. And then when do we have Yaakov? All right, back to the dream. When he comes there and he recognizes something to the effect of my brain's fried out. But Kim Zeh Beit Elokim V'Zeh Shaar HaShamayim, Mashu Kazeh, at the beginning of Parshat Vayitzeh.
Tov. And because of this, we also end up with three different... let's not do that yet. Tov. We have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which also means... which also means that the three times that we go up to Beit Hashem, that we're going up in three very different ways. We're going up once as Avraham, we're activating our Avraham side, and we go up to Har Hashem the first time in the year. We're activating our Yitzchak side, and we go up the second time. We're activating our Yaakov side, and we go up the third time. And somehow that's going to correlate intrinsically to each one of these holidays. That we're not going to go into. That's more of a Chagim Shiur. But to recognize that, again, they're each going up one time, and that's setting the stage for three Aliyah L'Regel. Why are they called Shalosh Regalim? Which would make all of this make a lot more sense.
Because you go on your feet.
I'm on my feet right now. Say it more clearly.
You walk to the Beit HaMikdash.
Excellent. Meaning that the mitzvah is to actually physically walk to the Beit HaMikdash. Avraham walks to the Beit HaMikdash. They're all going to the Beit HaMikdash to the point where we call this system of the three holidays the Shalosh Regalim. It's one of the layers of what the Shalosh Regalim are about. We're meant to go to Beit Hashem and be seen, and to see God and be seen by God at Har Hashem, at the Beit HaMikdash. We'll leave it here for now. We'll leave it here for now. But what we're emphasizing here is that in Sefer Shemot, meaning this was all kind of in brackets, if you will, we have Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Kabbalat Tzorah, and the Mishkan. Now, going back to the pasuk that we started with, going back to the verse that we started with, it said that you, Moshe, should go and take the people out, and the sign that you will have completed that is when you get to? Har Sinai. Meaning that that's the conclusion of the process. If one were to say it more strongly, and many of the Sfarim bring this out, if one were to say it more strongly, the purpose of leaving Mitzrayim is to get to Har Sinai. And to the extent that we get to Har Sinai and we receive the Torah, that validates Yitzhak Mitzrayim itself. Without Matan Torah, Yitzhak Mitzrayim has no purpose in being, has no validation for its existence. Matan Torah is the fulfillment, is the completion of that process. If we assume that Kabbalat Torah, that its purpose becomes validated that Yitzhak Mitzrayim's purpose becomes validated when we get to its conclusion, when we get to its next stage of Kabbalat Torah, what can we then say as a natural logical extension of that in this three-part Sefer? Exactly. That the purpose of Kabbalat Torah is to reach the Mishkan. To the extent that Kabbalat Torah, that the receiving of the Torah, leads to, achieves Mishkan, and now let's already pour a little bit of content to it, which is going to be the topic of our shiur on Monday. To the extent that Kabbalat Torah leads to a hashra'at hashchina, a resting of the shchina in the world, in myself, in my life, that validates Kabbalat Torah. And to the extent that Kabbalat Torah does not lead to a hashra'at hashchina, a resting of the shchina of God's presence in the world, in my life, in my heart, in myself, on all levels, on all of those levels of being, then retroactively there is no purpose in Kabbalat Torah itself. Incredibly strong way of thinking about it. These are all very necessary and totally interlinked. Kabbalat Torah, the Mishkan has to be here for all the reasons we talked about also. Meaning if we could even add to this chart we talked about again in that Shir and Parshat B'Shalach of, to simplify, of Shiduch, Chuppah, and Bayit. Right? Which we also talked about. In the same way that we talked about here, can you imagine, meaning despite what the world outside might tell us, if you end the story, if you end scene of the movie at the wedding, at the chuppah, if that's the end of the story, there's no justification for a chuppah if you don't build a bayit. I would claim, and this is tucked away in the middle of the Shemot, so nobody's going to hear this except for you in the room anyway. If marriage is not the ultimate goal of dating, then there's no business to be dating in the first place. But each one needs to naturally lead to the other. And what the next stage is what retroactively validates the previous stage. Shidul chuppa bait. Or, right in modern terms, dating. However it is that you decide to go about it, that's not the topic of our shiur. But all, again, reflecting those three stages. Each one validating the other, and all of it leading to, meaning again, why is the Mishkan attached to what we talked about in that Shir Bishalach, is that once we get to Kabbalat HaTorah, we need to get to the application of that, the bringing that into the world, of building the Mishkan, of concretizing that in reality. Those are the three stages that are happening here in Sefer Shmot.
What's the term you use, Hasharat?
Mishkan is Melashon Lishkon, or shoreh, which also means to rest. Sha'at. Okay. Questions on this piece? Thoughts on this piece? Reflections? Reactions to this piece? Yes, nobody?
No.
Good?
I'm good.
Awesome.
I speak for myself.
You're the only one speaking, so it's fine. Okay. This part I want to really zip through, and then I want to conclude with one last piece. Just to also set the stage for what's coming. If we take out the part of the Mishkan, right, we've now validated its existence, hopefully, or at least emphasized its significance in Sefer Shmot. So the story of the Mishkan itself breaks down into different parts. We're going to go through this again when we get to Parshat Ki Tisah to reemphasize it, because that's where everything's going to come out. But what's happening, what parshiot then are we left with in the Torah as part of this Mishkan-oriented stage of Torah? The names of the parshas. You can use the index in your Chumash. Good. We have Truma, Tetzaveh, Ki Tisah, Yakel, and Pikude.
He said it much slower than you.
It's okay, I guess. Truma, Tetzaveh, Ki Tisah, Yakel, and Pikude. Let's quickly just identify what the identities, that was the same word twice, of what these parshiot are. Okay? What is Parshat Truma about? And we're going to refine it, unless you're like right on the, you hit the nail on the head immediately. What's Parshat, be that person, you can start us off. What's Parshat Truma about? At least skim it first. Good, the kelim of the Mishkan. So now I want to refine it. Because what's Parshat Vayakel about?
Again, beginning.
So, in Torah, we're not going to have an again. If this is about the kelim of the Mishkan, and this is about the kelim of the Mishkan, what distinguishes Truma from Vayakel? Excellent. This is going to be the tzivoy on the kelim. That's the command to create, to build, the command to create each one of the vessels of the Mishkan. The Shulchan, the Aron, the Menorah, to build the vessels of the Mishkan. Tetzaveh is? Is what? Good, we have Kohanim. Good, it was right there. The tzivoy, again, not the action, but the tzivoy, of dedicating the Kohanim as well as the Begadim, the Big Day Kahuna. And both happen in that Parsha. The first half is the Big Day Kahuna, and the second half, the clothing of the Kohanim, and the second half is the actual dedication of the Kohanim himself, the tzivoy, the commandment, the instruction to set them aside. Parshat Ki Tisah is primarily about, we'll get to all the details in there later on, is about? Yeah, that's right there. Chet HaEgel. Vayakel is?
Isn't it when they make the kelim?
Vayakel? Yeah, they were just long as he said it. Yes, correct. That's the actual building of the kelim. That's the construction of the kelim. Thank you. That was the word I was actually looking for. Asiyata kelim. And then Akude. Right, Asiyah, I mean not the Asiyata Kohanim, they existed before, but making the Kohanim Kohanim, creating the Big Day Kahuna, and then eventually actually it concludes with, of course, the Hakamata Mishkan itself, bringing all the pieces together. Right? So in quotation marks, Asiyata Kohanim, and the Bigadim. And then leading to Hakamata Mishkan. Now, this structure leads us to a lot of questions, which I just want to run through very quickly, and again, we're going to come back to them in Parshat Ki Tisa. First of all, coming back to Eliora's initial response to the first two and the last two, why do we go through all this twice? Those of us who go to shul every Shabbos would have been incredibly happy had we omitted Vayakal Pekude. Those of us who do Shnai Mikra every week would have been very happy if we omitted Vayakal Pekude, especially with the double parshiot. We did it already. It was already done. We already went through everything. Every single thing, almost word for word, is entirely the same. At the end of Parshat Truma Tetzaveh, just say, Vayas Moshe, Bechol Yisrael, Kasher Tziva Hashem. Moshe and Israel did exactly as God had commanded. Done. Right? We just took out two parshiot of the whole Torah. In one sentence. God could have done the same thing. Why didn't he do that? That's the most basic question, which everybody, I think, struggles with just because it's very repetitive. Why put in both times? Even more strongly than that, why is it doubly odd that these two things are repeated based on the structure that we put up on the board? What sticks out like a sore thumb? Yeah! What's going on there? Give me Truma Tetzaveh and then Vayakal Pekude. You want to break it up, so there's got to be a distinction between Truma Tetzaveh. We have the Kalim versus the Kohanim. And we have in the first two, the Tziwa versus the last two, the Asiyah. But what is Chet HaEgel doing in the middle there? When we look at this whole last section, in this Mishkan part of Sefer Shmot, there are three distinct parts. These are not necessarily correlated. There are three distinct parts. And the biggest question is what is Chet HaEgel doing in the middle here? And, which we will build up this question more strongly again in Ki Tisa, but just to put all of the, there are a lot of threes going on, all three questions out there at the moment. Assuming that this statement is correct, based on the first pasuk in Parsha, Pekudei, and Rashi there, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaIdut, these are the Pekudim of the Mishkan of testimony. Rashi says, what is the Mishkan testifying to? Says Rashi. Anybody know what Rashi answers there? What is the Mishkan testifying to? Say again? He says something different. Rashi says something different. It's a testimony, says Rashi, to the kapara for Chet HaEgel. The Mishkan is walking testimony to the kapara for Chet HaEgel that was granted in Parshat Ki Tisa. Why does that strengthen our question?
Because that happened after.
Yeah, what's going on?
Before.
Emutam Mukhar Batzara means, yes, God is clearly putting things out of order here, and so, not necessarily, meaning Kilu, they are happening in chronological order very likely. But that there's something significant in the order here. And something that clearly is sticking out, because not only is Ki Tisa sticking out as being seemingly not like the others here, it's the one of the five that doesn't seem to fit. But on top of that, if the first pasuk of Pekude and Rashi's understanding of that is true, that the Mishkan itself is a kapara for Chet HaEgel, how are we introducing the tzivui for the Mishkan before Chet HaEgel? What's going on? This whole structure, I mean, we often do this in one parsha. Right, you think back to Lech Lecha and Be'er, when we did that in those parshiot, like really had the time to beat out those structures. The structure here of the last five parshiot is a big question mark. Why double it? Why have Chet HaEgel in the middle of it? And how can you have Chet HaEgel in the middle of it if it's a kapara for something which it doesn't even exist on a Torah level before it's introduced? All things that we must address as we go forward. So I don't know where to fit in the last part of what I wanted to accomplish today, but we're at time. So I'm going to stop here. What we've accomplished today, and again, is this opening shiur for what will be relatively quick shiurim. Unfortunately, we don't have time to really sit because the semester is coming to a close. For the rest of Sefer Shemot, as we established again a paradigm of Shemot existing as Yitziyat Mitzrayim, Kabbalat Torah, and the Mishkan, setting the seeds for the beginning of the sprouting of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov visiting Makom Mikdash, and then setting this and then planting the seeds themselves for Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, and Shalosh Regalim. But it's three parts of a process that are interdependent, where each one depends on the previous one. And as Sippy, you mentioned the Simchas Torah shir, right? That we taught, that we give every year, the shir on Shmiat Tzeret Simchas Torah, right? Where we talk about how Sukkot is actually the culmination of everything we're building toward over that process, and is meaningless without the process. It's the culmination of that process that we've achieved in Pesach and Shavuot. That it's all building toward the Mishkan, and that each one validates the previous piece. Yitzhak Mitzrayim has no right to exist without Kabbalat Torah, and the same way, Kabbalat Torah has no right to exist without the Mishkan. And then again over here, when we start looking at what the content of the Mishkan section is, we have the two parshiyot of the Tzivoi, Shema Tetzaveh, we have Chet Egel and Kitisa, and then we have the Asiyah in Vayakal Pekudeh, and we have three very strong questions on that structure. What? Why double it? What is Kitisa doing in the middle? And especially since if it's true that the Mishkan is the kapara for Chet Egel, how is it possible to introduce the Mishkan before Chet Egel? What we're going to do next shiur is, the next week, is Monday. We're going to spend one shiur, as much as we can, talking about Parshat Truma. We're going to spend one shiur on Wednesday talking about Parshat Tetzaveh. We're going to be leaving out a lot of details. And then the last week, we're going to really try to spend sitting in Kitisa, and we'll find a way to conclude with Vayakal Pekudeh, maybe even in just one shiur. Okay? So that's going to be our arc. But for next time, start thinking about, please, before next week, read through Parshat Truma and Tetzaveh, because that's going to be all week next week. Read through them together. It's a double Parsha for you guys right now. Read through Parshat Truma Tetzaveh, and also think about, what does it mean that Kabbalat HaTorah necessitates Hashra'at HaShchinah, that it requires what comes next to be the building of the Mishkan, and Hashra'at HaShchinah, the resting of the Shechinah in Klal Yisrael. What is the Shechinah? What does that mean? Start thinking about those things now, and we'll start to address them Bezrat HaShem on Monday.